This is BLAX, Blacks, elevating Black people, community, and culture.
Today, we are interviewing
Andres Portela.
Yes, because I can't say his name really well. But today, we're going to talk about two things, really, in this time aspect that we have right now. We're going to talk about him as a community member, community activist, and then we're also going to talk about his business, TWC, which is The Works Creative.
Yeah, right? You're right. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we know, I feel like we know each other pretty well to a relative.
To an extent.
To an extent. So in terms of talking about your business and being a community member, you mentioned being a community member has helped you start a business. And why is that specifically?
Yeah, so basically what I was talking to you about was it's all about emotional investment. When you start to look at your community and you start to look about the work you're doing, you want to bring about the most change that you have in your life. So if you're going to create emotional investment into something, you want to see it through to the end. And so throughout the community, one of the hardest things before starting a business was thinking about emotional investment, because that whole thought of how much time or how much emotion am I going to invest in something without seeing a return. When you start to deal with your business, you tend to do the same thing. How much time am I going to put in this project to get the result I want? Whereas basically that's how I started my business. I thought I reassessed my emotional investment I was giving to certain organizations. And it really just translated into me starting a business.
Okay. But that wasn't your first thing that you wanted to do.
My main thing was to just get into the community. And after I just got into the community, I had to reassess how much time I was spending in the community and what the effects, the projected outcome I wanted.
Okay.
So my main objective was to elevate brands and elevate a brand so that they could ultimately tell their messaging clear and concisely. And so that kind of just translated into TWC because effectively I do that for brands. I take the message that they have, whether it's a family business that has been around for 60 years, or it's a nonprofit that focuses on poverty, or even another nonprofit that focuses on bringing Black communities together. The main focus on those is just to elevate their brands because everyone knows what they do. It's not what makes them niche or what makes them important, what connects them to those communities.
And in terms of you getting into the community and doing that brand messaging or branding, mm-hmm. What was your first opportunity in the community?
So my first opportunity in the community was a few different ways. I worked a 9-to-5 at a marketing agency, and I got to see what it was like to market for charter schools. And I got to see the distance between an agency and its clients. And I realized that wasn't the life for me. So then I made the transition to a private school and doing the marketing communications for them. And I got to get immersed in a community and a culture. And that really just resonated with me. So I decided after leaving the school that's what I was going to ultimately do is start focusing on specific brands, helping them for a select amount of time so that they can elevate their brands.
Okay. And in all of that, really turns out that is not even one of your major, that's not even your major focus.
So my core focus is to elevate brands.
Yeah, your core focus is to elevate brands, but I'm talking about in terms of your education. Your education
So I'm a political science, I went to college for political science pre-law. I thought that coming out of college, I could become a politician and change the world that way. And I wish that were so, but unfortunately there are age limits and I graduated college at 21, so it was just like, I can't go and run for state legislature. And so until I turn 25, which is this year, I'm going to affect my community in other ways.
Okay. And what is an office, a political office that you would run for?
State legislature. Okay. Ultimately, that's where you get to see the changes in laws and you get to create reasonable change on the ground floor.
And that... Never knew this about you, but you graduated college at 21.
Yeah, I graduated college at 21. I've had a pretty full life.
And you're only almost 25.
I'm literally almost 25. My first 2 years of college, I decided I want to be a musician. I worked with a recording artist and played the drums for him and sang background. After that, before that, I wrote poems in high school, became a published poet in high school. Also went to studied abroad in high school. And then it kind of just translated in my adult career. During college, I worked for a congressman, which kind of just paved the way for the community service and community activism.
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. And what provided you this foundation? How did you get so many opportunities at such a young age?
Honestly, my dad, my mom and my dad, they just take us to community events as much as possible. I'm the youngest of five kids, but there was always between seven and nine of us around. So like, my dad would take us to like the city council meetings where we were from. And, he would also take us to like Black History Month in the park and stuff like that. So it was all just stuff we got to be able to do.
Okay. And what was some of those community events that you could remember
so
that really resonated with you?
Even MLK Day, the march, we were part of the NAACP in our hometown. We were a part of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. All of that kind of stuff, we were very active in. My dad made sure that we were still church-going family, in the choir, all that kind of stuff. But he really just focused on community and less on church.
Awesome. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is BLAX Blacks, and we are talking to
Andres Portela.
Boom. Now, and continuing on from that, you're almost 25. You're about to run for a state legislature, possibly, potentially. This is where
that's a few years out. Yeah,
a few years out. Okay, cool. And what are some laws that, like, what do you want to affect? If, let's say, you get into your political office of choice, what is something that you want people to know that you affected?
So my 9-to-5 job is working for Southwest Fair Housing Council, and I get to see housing at housing and how it affects underserved communities. If I had the ability to change laws, I would change the protected classes. In the state of Arizona, there are the 7 protected classes, which are also guaranteed under the Federal Fair Housing Act. What I would do is I would include source of income as well as veteran status as those protected classes, basically saying like those are particular types of classes that can't be discriminated against. Right now, the 7 protected classes are very limited in scope, but adding source of income and veteran status would be kind of a big deal for a state. Source of income means like if someone has a housing choice voucher or one of these different payment assistance programs, they couldn't be denied housing on the basis of source of income. Or let's say a veteran needs a request for an accommodation or modification where they're living, that they wouldn't have to rethink their living choices based on them being a veteran. And so all of that, that's one thing that I would love to make reasonable change in. But Arizona has also not made any large strides on criminal justice reform since the 1980s. And right now we're the fourth largest incarcerator. So it's only going to get worse because what we've seen is a lot of the other states are making some substantial changes when it comes to criminal justice reforms, whereas Arizona has not yet.
Interesting. So housing, prison reform.
Housing,
criminal justice reform, which is a lot larger of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wow. It's astounding, even in this day, to see young men and young women be as profound as you at such a young age. If that makes sense. That does make sense. So even further from that, you are a TEDx speaker. You've spoken at TEDx before.
Yeah, so I gave a TEDx talk about a year ago now, and my focus was on identity and culture.
Okay.
I am mixed race. My name is Andres Portela. I come from a Puerto Rican and African American household. I don't see myself as 50-50 of anything. I see myself as 100% of each. My father never raised us to look at ourselves as half of anything. Whereas in our society and our cultures, we teach our kids like, yeah, you're mixed race and you're half white and you're half black. But really what that ends up resulting in is identity issues. It results in kids not feeling like they have a place in either place. So that's the purpose of my TEDx talk. I talked about identity and culture, and basically you're 200% of something.
Wow. That is, and it's interesting to look at it that way, because it just gives you even more pride in the cultures that you have and the cultures that you grew up with.
Yeah. So the two cultures I grew up with, when I was young, I had the opportunity to go back to Puerto Rico a bunch of times. I got to see the pride on my dad's face and the joy that he experienced from showing us his culture. My parents didn't get to go with me to Africa. But I had the opportunity to go to Kenya, and just there was a warmth that I felt with the people. They made me feel a part of them. They would walk up to me and they would show me love, and they didn't even know who I was. I was with a group of basically white tourists, and they would call me Black American and give me hugs, but they would be like, "You're one of us." So it just felt nice to have a home in two different places. So it just chimed back on, I was 200%. They both made me feel welcome.
And what inspired you to use TEDx as a platform to make this? What inspired you to use TEDx as a platform?
So I looked at TEDx as, a source driver. I saw them as a source to get my message very broad. Because if you know, most people know about TED, the national conference. But when we start to look at locality, there are tons of mixed race kids or 200% kids in Tucson and Southern Arizona. So I felt like it was important that I gave this talk locally rather than on the national TED stage, which I didn't even think about applying for. I just really wanted to make sure that my community and culture knew that they helped shape me. Because even if there wasn't a ton of Puerto Ricans and a ton of African Americans here in Tucson and Sierra Vista, there was a lot of community events where we did Hispanic Heritage Month and we celebrated historically Puerto Rican, historically Caribbean people, but also Black History Month where we celebrated Black culture, Juneteenth where we celebrated Black culture, and we had that experience. We had that collectivism.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just really astounded just by although we are not far in age, you seem to be like a lot more thoughtful and not saying that I'm not a thoughtful person, but you seem a lot more pronounced in everything that I ask you. And we've covered a lot in a very short amount of time, but one thing I do really want to talk to you about is hip hop. Because you have a very strong stance on your opinion on hip hop.
Yeah,
as I have observed. And what brings you to have that foundation? You know, that opinion on hip hop.
Yeah. So, my dad didn't let me listen to hip hop till I was like 12.
what was the first thing that you listened to?
Go See the Doctor by Slick Rick. I think that's the name of the song, but we were listening to Slick Rick. And it really changed my life because I went to private school for my early years. Mm-hmm. So the only two Black kids were in the school were me and my sister. And then later on, my godbrother, whom my dad adopted, ended up coming in. So there was like three of us. And so there really wasn't that community and culture that I was looking for. And so Slick Rick kind of something I can identify with. And after that, my dad told me he was a DJ and he started to show me turntables. He started to teach me the craft. He taught me hip hop history. He let me listen to it all. So like from 12 to 16, I like read up, studied up, did my stuff. And it really just informed an opinion. I knew what I liked. I knew what I didn't like. I know that from that time I heard Nas at the age of 16 and I was just like, this is my favorite rapper. And I've been a Nas fan since the day one I heard him.
Wow. And it seems like your dad taught you a lot about who you are today.
Yeah.
And it's astounding to see that.
My dad was, he's pretty dope when it comes to making sure I understood life beyond books. My mom was very much so rooted in culture and community. And my dad was, I don't want to say my mom was the nerd of the group, but my dad was the cool one. My mom taught me how to beatbox with my mouth, how to play the drums and all of that. But my dad, he taught me the turntables. He taught me how to just basically be cool.
Taught you about hip hop.
He taught me how to be cool.
Okay. And then so getting into the kind of the final stance of this all, it's Black History Month, of course.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're on the radio regardless of whether it's Black History Month.
Yeah.
This is Blacks. I just want to kind of take a pause for that one. but how does coming into Black History Month make you feel? Just on the soul standpoint.
I know you see my Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Black culture is the most prevalent, I believe the most prevalent culture in America today.
Yeah.
When it comes to hip hop. Or the genre of music, when it comes to the clothing, the way people dress,
well,
the way people
well,
talk.
Well, let's not even look at hip hop. Look at country music. We started that. That's ours. We started that with blues. We started that, like, we as a people have been a part of every popular culture since the beginning of time. Like, people don't realize it. Black culture is so entrenched in everything. And so what kind of pride do I get during Black History Month? I get a lot of pride. I mean, I'm prideful in my culture year round, but Black History Month is especially important to me, that and Hispanic Heritage Month.
And you just go all out for it.
Yep.
As every black person should. In the full spectrum of blackness.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Black History Month just because when I was a kid, it was the time of the month. I mean, the time of the year where we all met up at in Sierra Vista. We all met up and we would just talk about black explorers, and that kind of informed my blog. I knew I wanted to be an explorer of some sort, so The Wilderness Black, that's my blog.
Shout out.
Yeah, I had to do a shameless plug.
Hey, it's
but The
okay.
Wilderness Black, and that's really what it informed it, because I saw myself in black explorers. Like, Mansa Musa was the richest man to ever live. Like, and he was an explorer. He took over most of Europe. He was an adventurer. He was a conqueror. Like, that's exactly what I wanted to be. And so I found myself not seeing myself in the outdoor industry. So I'm working on outdoor industry stuff with that marketing agency. And I didn't see myself in that. In the last few years, you've seen the rise of a lot of black bloggers and stuff. But you really didn't see that 3, 4, 5 years ago. And so when I went ahead and started The Wilderness Black, my primary focus was the focus on black community. And so that's why I love Black History Month. I love the community. I love the culture. I love the people.
Boom.
I love myself.
I love my
self.
So, I mean, just to kind of like round this off, we still have 5 minutes on the clock. What else do you want to talk about to let people know more about who you are? What are some of your goals for the rest of the year?
For the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, I want to experience more. So 2 years ago, I had the experience of going to China and experience Chinese culture. A year before that, I went to Kenya and I got to experience their culture. A year before that, I went to Germany and I got to experience their culture. I really just want to get out of the States and experience someone else's culture. I get pretty big culture shock. And I'm hoping to go to a Latin American country fairly soon.
What in Latin American country is in your mind?
So I want to go to Peru. We'll see about that. My wife really wants to go to Italy, so we'll see about that. She's got family out there. Going back to my TED Talk, that's why I gave my TED Talk, because my kids are also, possibly have identity issues. My wife is white, I'm black, and Puerto Rican. So, like, that's a mashup. They're going to have to figure out.
Melting pot.
Yeah, they're really going to have to figure out where they fit. And so basically this was, it was basically a talk to my kids, future kids. I'm not trying to have kids anytime soon.
Yeah. That's, wow, that's interesting. That's an interesting perspective to look at from at such a young age, right?
Yeah.
Like most like 23, 24, 25 year olds don't want to, they're like, oh, I'm going to have kids when I'm 30, but they don't necessarily prepare. They're just more living their best life. They're more just living their best life. Shout out Lil Duval.
So I married my wife at 22.
Yeah.
And like, what's the first, when you first move in with your girlfriend or significant other, what's the first question to happen? When you get married, the second question is when you're having kids. Mm-hmm. Like, no one asked how we were doing personally. So we waited.
Or what life you're going to experience.
Yeah. So like, we've waited 2 or 3 years and we probably will keep waiting to have kids because we want to experience each other in life. Like, I want to be able to say, like, when I'm ready to have kids, like, they're going to be able to grab their pack and come along with us on these trips around the world. Like, it's just...
And it's not going to be a new experience for you all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm cool with having new experiences with my kid. I just want, to experience myself. What we see in, like, older folk, and my parents are going through this right now, they're experiencing life without kids for the first time. And so it's like, they're finally just getting to enjoy themselves, just the two of them. So it's good that they're getting to experience each other, but I want to have that early and then retire early so I can experience life without kids after I've raised them.
Interesting. Oh man, it's we were only gonna cover like two things in this whole thing, but as you could see,
I talk too much.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I mean, it's not even like necessarily a talk too much, but it's just you have such a strong stance as to who you are and what you want in life. And shout out to all the black men and women out there that can do the same. And even if you can't do the same, we love you anyways. This is Black History Month.
Love yourself.
Love yourself. All right, we're just going to hop off of this because we're not.
Let me say one more thing. I love your brown skin and so should you. That's it. That's all I got to say.
Profound. Boom. This has been BLAX, Blacks, elevating black people, community, and culture. Peace. That I know you met someone else right behind my back. That's a fact. No, it's a trend.